What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/new book and get your copy today.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
We have much to celebrate again today. We have a great experience with Weldon Long and his organization.
Yeah, we said when we were doing that book review on the power of consistency that we were going to get Weldon Long on the show, and we haven't got there yet.
We're almost there. But they did love our podcast so much that they've shared it with their audience.
That was pretty cool. That's huge. I saw that. Did you see that on Facebook?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Weldon listened to the podcast. It was like, man, this is a great show. You guys need to be listening to these guys. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Hey, you know, just confirmation. We're adding some value, I hope.
Yeah.
Well, along the way.
You're starting to reach out there.
And that's
if
right.
By the way, if you didn't listen to the podcast we did on the power of consistency, go back and listen to that one. That book has helped us tremendously into thinking through how we go about our daily activities, and what goes into our mind will come out, no doubt. And you can't have negative thoughts unless you've put them in there first or somebody else has put them in there. So that's a great episode to go back and listen to. But I thought that was pretty cool for us to get a shout out from Weldon.
No doubt. No doubt. Doing some things right.
That's right. Well, speaking of good thoughts, bad thoughts, today's episode is on paying off debt or not paying off debt, the tension that goes into that. And this is one of those things is a hotly debated topic. You know, should I take money and pay off my debts, or should I take the money and invest in opportunities and just be okay always having the monthly payment?
That's right. And guys, we have tons of great stories of people who are taking advantage of opportunity and those that are missing out.
Yeah.
It's really not a one-size-fits-all situation, is it?
No, you've got to be willing to accept the fact that one way or the other way is not right or wrong, but there is tension involved on both sides. So listen in today's episode. I think you're going to enjoy this one. Okay, easy. Tell me, how old were you in 2004?
Oh, gosh. 14 years ago? 10.
10?
Wow.
Are you serious? Okay, yeah. I'm not going to ask this question of you. Slip over.
Hold on, before you do that, you just called him Easy.
Yeah, Easy. Well, like Easy.
Easy E? Was that even in the running of names for him for his podcast name?
I had a conversation with him the other day. Yeah. I said, I believe Easy E is the winner. And he agreed, and we've moved on.
Well,
straight out of Compton.
I mean, this is not even a democracy at this point.
I don't know if it's straight out of Compton. I'm thinking more like Easy, like Sunday morning, but you can take that you got.
I can see that. I can see that. But I was thinking downtown Ernie Brown had it. No?
It was up there, but he and I both agreed with me.
I got outvoted. Okay. All right, Easy it is. I'm sorry. Continue.
All right. What hurricane hit New Orleans in 2004?
Katrina, of course.
Yeah, Katrina.
Everybody knows that.
Well, you know that because you used to live in New Orleans, but whatever.
I knew that too.
Dude, do you know how many people transplanted from there to Birmingham?
How many?
It was, I don't know how many. It was a lot, though.
You see, you wanted me to just agree with him? He thought
of
I was
course.
Be like, oh, yeah, I know how many. No,
hey,
I don't know.
It was
you got a computer
dramatic,
I bet you could figure it out, but that's not the purpose of my question. My question is this important when we're talking about paying off debt and the burden of paying off debt? it reminds me of a story that one of my mentors had shared with me. So there was a conference I used to go to all the time. It was in New Orleans. But in 2005, we couldn't have that conference in New Orleans because of all the rubble, all of the just complete turmoil that was going on down there where buildings were just still flooded. And it was just, right. They couldn't fix them all. And he told me about this physician that he had been working with for quite a long time. And early on, their conversations revolved around today's topic, debt, paying off debt. How do I get rid of debt? Well, let me ask you, Joey, you own a business in New Orleans, down in the quarter, down in the floodplain, and you get devastated. What you doing for money after that?
You're not going to have a whole lot of options. You have to get kind of creative.
You got to get real creative. Like you mentioned people fleeing, but that means they had to leave to go try to find jobs.
That's right.
They had to try to go find income. Well, this man who he'd had a conversation with for years and years before about wanting to pay off debt, talked to him and helped him understand what we're going to get into today, which is you're going to deal with tension no matter what. Instead of having the tension of when an opportunity comes and you're afraid of missing out on it, instead of paying off your house, instead of taking the extra payment and paying off your mortgage, let's take that money and stick it in one of these insurance policies.
Like instead of paying a 15-year mortgage to pay it off faster, use a 30-year mortgage and then use the difference to save.
Yeah. Or if you have a big lump sum of money, don't go pay it off.
Right.
Create equity inside an insurance policy. And so he took his advice and he did that. Well, his business, he was a physician, it gets hit. He can't go to work for like
shut
six
down.
Months, 9 months. I don't remember how long it was. It was a long time. Shut down. If he needs money, used to be a mortgage guy. He comes to you and says, hey, I need to get some equity out of my house.
That ain't going to happen.
No?
Yeah.
Why?
The banks are even shut down at that point. Probably.
Why won't you give me any money? My house is paid off.
Yeah, that collateral is underwater, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way.
So that's thankfully not what he did. He had money in an insurance contract. So what he did is, one, he could access money to help subsidize the things that were going on. But he saw an awesome opportunity. And I just remember this story as he was sharing it with us when we were in Arizona, not New Orleans. It's a lot longer flight for me from Birmingham, by the way. You have to take a tour through the Midwest when you fly as cheap as I do to get there. So I get all the way to Arizona. I'm listening to this story and he's telling about this guy who basically saw an opportunity with all these trees down, spent money and went and bought tree like grinders and stump grinders and all these things. And just started hiring all these people that were out of jobs and went down into those areas and just started taking cash and just making money hand over fist, getting rid of trees out of yards, grinding up stumps. This guy made a fortune. It was like $150,000 in like 60 days or something.
Wow.
And it was all because he had access to cash to take advantage. And obviously he had an entrepreneur spirit, which didn't hurt. But it just stuck out to me as the way we need to think about debt and knowing that it's going to exist. And I think today's episode really is going to dig into some of those things.
And so we're talking about not just debt in general, right? There's good debt. There's bad debt. You know, we're talking about things like buying a business with cash flow and having to take a loan against it or a student loan. You've actually shared about your wife taking student loans out for dentistry and how that was the only option you had. And that's a good investment, so to speak, towards the future.
It can be. I mean, if you're taking out a student loan to go get, you know, a $15,000 year job, you know, if you decide, hey, I'm going to go and get this liberal arts degree at the, you know, the best college in the country and spend $150,000. And next thing you know, I'm going to be working as a waitress or a waiter down at the Ruby Tuesdays.
That's not going to work.
Yeah, that math doesn't work. But if you're going to go out and get a degree that your profession requires of you to have, and you know when you come out or very soon thereafter, you can leverage that into an income stream at a much higher multiple. Yeah, that makes sense. It's the business decision, no different than me going and borrowing $150,000 to go make 10 grand a year. That wouldn't make sense either.
Well, but let's just kind of talk through this.
By the way, I wasn't trying to knock on your liberal arts degree.
I got one of those too.
Come on, man. You're ganging up on us.
You're in the minority.
I'm the only one with a business degree in here.
I have a business degree.
From a liberal arts college.
That's right.
Okay. I didn't say anything about the college. I said the degree.
Same thing.
Yeah. Come on.
Why is it the same thing?
All right. We're going to have to move on.
No, why is it the same thing?
There's going to be some beat down going on in here.
why is it that if you go to a liberal arts college, but you get a degree in business, is it the same thing as having a liberal arts degree from a liberal arts college?
You're talking about the type of degree being a liberal arts degree. I don't think there is such a thing.
That's where I'm.
What is a liberal arts degree?
That's what I'm asking you.
English, right?
No. I have a liberal arts business degree. I studied in multiple backgrounds. I studied in arts.
It's clear you don't know what you're talking about. It's okay. It's okay though.
I got to go visit all the buildings in my school.
That's what it means. You get to go see multiple buildings.
That's right. Take classes in other disciplines.
I got to go to multiple buildings. I didn't know that. Okay, excuse my ignorance in this. I've already showed it multiple times before. No, I'm thinking liberal arts is like, and by the way, I don't want to be crushing people, but like a music degree or an English degree. I'm assuming, what is that called?
Fine arts? Is that what you're talking about?
Right, Bachelor of Arts degree?
Moving on.
Got a problem?
Sorry.
Anyway.
I don't have a problem with that.
Anyway, let's get back. Okay.
My brother-in-law had a history degree, but then he went back and became a veterinarian. So
people are dealing with debt. There's a tension, okay? I've got to get
people
out.
Who have bad degrees have lots of debt.
This is going nowhere.
No, it is going somewhere. Go.
Okay. You have this weight. I mean, how many times have you heard someone say, if I could just be debt free? But what are they really saying? They're saying, I want to be payment free. I don't want to have this payment, the weight of having to make this mortgage payment or car payment.
I feel like this debt is bringing me down. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. You're right. So that's a real feeling, by the way. We all have felt it at some point or another and continue to. However, there's other problems, right? Living paycheck to paycheck.
I felt that debt when I first got out of college and I had a $2,000 credit card bill. I was making like $2,500, you know, a month. So $2,000 seemed like might as well be $1 million at the time.
Mm.
So I know what you're talking about.
People don't see anything getting them ahead. They constantly are getting this cycle of, as soon as I pay something off, I have to take out another loan. Something else breaks. Something else goes on because they have no savings.
So then they have that feeling that I need to get rid of it because of the potential of those things.
Right. Then I can start saving.
Okay.
Right. That's a very common thought.
Well, what about on the other side, Joe? What about the people who are saying, you know, I'm okay with having debt out there, but I'm not okay missing out on opportunities. You just said that story about the guy who bought all the tree grinders and the stump things, made $150,000 in 2 months. Those are the things that resonates with me. If I thought about paying off my mortgage or paying off my student loan, I would think about how many times am I missing out on those opportunities? Those would be sleepless nights for me.
Right. So in that story, you can actually quantify how much that person would have missed out. Right? Actually, you might not be able to quantify it because guess what? If he didn't have access to that cash,
he wouldn't have never thought about it.
He wouldn't have thought about it. And what would he have done for income? He'd have been stuck.
He would have been working on those tree grinding crews.
That's right.
For the guy who would have had the money. Somebody else would have thought of that idea. I'm sure somebody else did. You know, that I'm sure he wasn't the only one down there with doing that business. But yeah, that's what I resonate with. I guess I start thinking about the opportunities that I miss out on, maybe because we're always talking about opportunities. So we're thinking about it.
Right.
It's on top of our lips. But I do understand. I feel that pressure. I know that the little demands inside my head are going to start talking to me and saying, why are you guys looking at me? I don't really mean that there's people talking to me inside my head. This is just me talking to myself in the shower or whatever it is, going, I don't want to miss out on these opportunities.
Right. And I've even shared this before. One of the things that drew me to a new way of thinking about either paying off debt or how I save money was feeling like I didn't have anything to show for all this effort. I mean, how many times was I paying something off and then saving up that money in a savings account and then paying off the next thing and paying off? And I look up and I'm 10 years, 11 years into my career and I got nothing to show for it, hardly anything. There's no reason for that. Right.
I will say this. I was listening to this podcast and it's funny we're doing this podcast on debt and the tensions along with it. Because I was listening to this other podcast on this author, Tim Arnold. He wrote this book. I think it's called The Power of Harnessing Tension. It was like a leadership book. You know, you almost think it's like some sort of relationship book, but it was on leadership. And it just made me think of exactly what we're talking about. But he gave an example of breathing as, you know, just you have to exhale when you inhale or vice versa. And you can't do both. Well, what happens if we think that we can pay off debt and not feel the pain of missing out on opportunities? Or what makes us feel like we can take advantage of opportunities but not feel the pain of not paying off the debt? They're both going to exist. And it just made me think that, you know, we're trying to have these binary solutions where it's just one way or the other, and assuming that you're not going to have any issue with the other side. Well, that's not the case. And I think that pertains to this, even though I will gravitate toward, you know, not paying off debt, but I know that it's going to exist. I mean, I've had conversations with my wife before about that.
Right. I mean, another mistake that we hear commonly is that it's all about, you know, how does it make me feel instead of being objective about it? I just recently had a conversation with a couple and they have a significant amount of equity in their house that they're about to, they just sold and they're about to build another one. And they told me, Joey, really want to get into the rental house market, really want to start building passive income because they recognize this is going to reduce my risk and allow me more freedom by having some additional cash flow. So we talked through a strategy. Well, what if we put down less on the new house and use the additional money that we would have put down to buy rental properties? We came up with the fact that it would probably at least buy them 4 rental houses. Well, do you realize the cash flow from those rental houses would be more than what the new mortgage would be? So they effectively would have someone else paying their mortgage every single month. Well, we came up with the whole plan. They came back to me a couple of weeks later and said, Joey, we know it probably makes more sense, but I just feel like it's better for us to pay off this house as fast as we can. Now, that's a lot of what we've been taught, right? From Wall Street, from Dave Ramsey. We've talked about him before. He actually makes you feel dumb for having debt, where debt is dumb. He talks about that. So this is what's constantly on that side of the coin. Like, I don't want to have those payments. I don't want to be dumb. But on the other side, what opportunity are they missing?
Speaking of not being dumb, okay, so while you were talking, I zoned out there for a second. I went on my phone and I looked up earn your liberal arts degree online.
And dude, would you let that go?
Just so you know, it says liberal arts degrees are in linguistics, English, environmental studies, history. Those are all liberal arts degrees. So I was right. I don't know where you guys are off. So you made me feel dumb a second ago. I just want to come back to that.
So I understand there's two types of degrees, Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science.
Right.
What is a liberal arts degree?
I don't know.
Just I guess what your focus is. It's okay, Russ, do you want us to tell us you're right? Would you want us to tell you you're right?
Dude,
so we can finally move on?
Yes. All right, let's hear it. Okay, sorry. I don't know why that is. Why that's important. It's not. But when you said something that I was listening, I was pretending I was not listening. The idea of the real estate. What happens if the real estate fails, Joey?
That is a very true statement. And I would never encourage people to do something that they're not wanting to do. This is what they brought to me as a strategy they wanted to do.
Well, I think that here, why shouldn't you be free to make that decision? You know,
oh, you
if
should
they decide
be.
To go that way,
you should be. And
but why should you know? But there, I think the purpose of this conversation is to point out the people who are on one side or the other saying, "Don't do it."
That's true. That's true.
There's only one way.
And at the end of the day, as long as they know objectively both sides of that tension, as we keep talking about, then I'm fine to help you get to your goals no matter what. Right? That's our agreement to you and to others, our clients. We're constantly going to work with you and catch you where you're at and help you continue to grow.
Well, I can tell you, when I heard that story, I came home to my wife and I said, look, we're not going to pay off the house. That's just not going to happen. We're going to take this extra money throughout our life. And instead of paying it down on extra principal and things, we're going to use this money. We're going to pay this mortgage off over 30 years. To be perfectly honest, I'm going to refinance this thing down the road. We're still in this house. By the way, the house, we've moved twice from since then, maybe 3 times if I really started counting. And I've taken the principal and I've taken that money and I put it in life insurance policies. And when I was sitting with a couple just the other day having this discussion, Joey, we had the idea. They said, I want to pay off my house. I want a 15-year mortgage instead of a 30. I said, let me show you an example. Just so you know, I'm not telling you this is what the only route right. you have to go. But here's an idea. What if you took the $1,000 a month difference of payments, because that's what it was, and we put that into something that earned 4% over the next 15 years? And let's look at your 30-year mortgage, and in 15 years, figure out how much you owe. And the 30-year mortgage, by the way, was at 4%. It's not rocket science to tell you that the cash that they were accruing at 4% over 15 years was exactly the same amount of money that they owed on the 30-year mortgage in 15 years.
So they effectively had the ability to pay it off out of their policy.
The same time.
Same time.
I said, but what else are you getting? If we decide to do it this way, we decide to put it in a life insurance policy, what do you get immediately when you buy a life insurance policy, Easy?
A lot of death benefit.
A death benefit, right? What else do you get?
Creditor protection.
Okay, what else do you get?
Access to cash.
Man, that's good stuff there, because whenever you're in a scenario like we just talked about with the guy in New Orleans, that's big. But you know what else you get? You also get some health benefits. There's disability protections with these life insurance policies. There's critical illness and terminal illness protection. There's added things on top of this that we're talking about, not to mention collateral. I've seen people leverage these policies in order to go buy other things.
Right.
And I said, what if we paid it off in 15 years? That's fine. You want to get rid of the house in 15 years? Good. Perfect. But what if you don't want to? What if you've decided that, you know what? I do want to get involved in real estate. I do want to get involved in this business. And I'm going to use this money just the same way they would have tried to get equity out of the house to do it. Because then anything you're buying, you got to go find money somewhere. You can borrow it from somebody. Would you rather borrow it from an insurance company that has two questions when you want it, which is how much and where you want me to send it?
That's right.
Or do you want to go to the Murrays of the world when he was back in the mortgage business that has paperwork that, you know, that'll just wear out your arm before you even finish signing?
Yeah, that's a joke.
But so that,
no comparison.
We don't want to be in that position, right?
Yeah. So we always want to give a practical step. This is good information, right? Maybe some things you haven't ever thought about before, but practically we've actually provided the first step is figure out what debts need to be paid off and how soon, how to prioritize those. We have a priority payoff guide in the show notes for you to download. What that's going to do is going to teach you, okay, maybe this particular debt is in the danger zone. That's one of the first things I need to pay off. Okay. The second one might be a caution, like maybe you need to get this paid off as you can, but it's not urgent. The rest might be a comfortable debt, something that might be worthwhile just keeping out there for a while. But here's the other part of that. Some loans you've actually purposely put yourself in to pay off as soon as possible, like Russ talked about with the 15-year mortgage. I've heard people take auto loans that they could have taken for 6 years and they took it for 2 or 3. And now they've got this massive payment because they just want to pay this off as soon as possible. Well, that may not play into this calculator the way that we've designed it. So just be cautious about that. And we want to help you through that. If you have questions, of course, you can always schedule a call. We'll go over that. So first of all, download the priority guide, payment priority guide.
That's a really neat tool, by the way. And whenever we started using that tool, it really opened people's eyes.
Right.
Just to see the urgency in paying off certain debts over others. And it's amazing how many times I've seen it be the one that they thought they should pay off first. When they looked at the guide, they used the calculator. It turned out it wasn't the case.
Right.
And I think that's a great tool to have access to. But it all comes back to, Joe, step two, you got to have a place where the money resides. If you truly are going to save the difference, if you're not going to go pay off the debt, you're going to get yourself in a situation where you want to save to pay it off at a later time or take advantage of opportunities, you got to put the money away. And I'm telling you, I keep putting my money into these insurance contracts, and I may be beating on a drum here, but I don't know any better place for us to save and get 3%, 4%, 5% on our cash than these insurance policies. So this is, to me, has been in my lifetime, the best place for me to save the cash to do exactly what you're talking about.
Right. And that's where you're putting in a place where you can leverage it to pay off the debt and get back to that financial freedom formula, right? More passive income, greater than monthly expenses. Yeah, so you're reducing that expense side.
Yeah, if you're using that calculator, you're reducing the cash flow, because that's all it's trying to do, is trying to figure out where the cash flow, or freeing up cash flow, trying to reduce the payment that has the most impact on that formula, right?
Right, right. So obviously download the guide. Secondly, warehouse in the proper place. And three, just relax. Enjoy the difference.
Are you talking to me, relax? Or are you talking to Easy over here?
Yeah, you know, Easy, he's kind of tightly wound. So, you know, you gotta.
You see how fired up he got when I was going after his BA degree?
Oh, hey.
I did not get a Bachelor of Arts degree.
You did? See, now he's on the. Did you get a BA degree?
I'm not going to even answer that. I'm not going to.
Which, by the way, I did research it again, and it does say a BA, the difference between BA and BS is that BA, you go out and get lots of different ideas and works in different fields, where if you get a BS, it's more technical, more specific.
Thank you, Russ. I was not going to be able to sleep tonight without you sharing that.
Well, total, there's somebody in here that's BS, like me, that doesn't know the difference between BA and BS, unless you grew up in the 80s.
So
that wasn't me, by the way.
Yeah.
You don't even know who BA is.
Okay. So let's talk about this one last time. We're going to keep things objective, take things from an emotional state. I don't know what to do. This feels like this is super weighty. Let's consider both sides and be objective, right? That's our agreement. That's what we're willing to do for our clients.
You're basically saying that we can't live in the gray.
That's right.
Right? Let's pull it into black and white. Let's go ahead and accept the feeling of the tension that's going to exist, and that you're not going to remove it. And then let's figure out which one that you are willing to accept the most. Whether are you willing to accept the lost money that you don't, lost opportunity, or are you willing to accept having the debt?
Right.
Whichever one. Either way, it is right for you, but let's make sure you know that it both will exist, especially if you're going to continue to listen to podcasts. If you're paying off debt, you're going to constantly hear us talk about the opportunity cost.
Right. So keep it black and white. This will help. At least this guide will help. Go download it on our show notes. And secondly, if you need somebody to help navigate that, give us a call. Schedule a call. We have the link right there in our show notes. 15-minute intro, no harm, no foul, no obligation. Just a matter of getting in front of us and saying, okay, this is what I was kind of thinking. Is this what you recommend? And we're happy to have those conversations and see if we're a fit moving forward. Because at the end of the day, aren't we really just trying to have more money in the future by considering how we're paying off debt, right?
Maybe, yeah.
And at the same time, I love this story of the guy in New Orleans, the doctor. He actually provided an opportunity fund by considering how he was paying off debt.
Yeah.
Don't absolutely. We all want that?
I resonate with that. And I think that story is a great one to say, what if he wouldn't have done it?
The risk.
Yeah.
Is
how would that have worked out for him, Maisie?
He'd be without a house, without an income.
Yeah, I mean, his house was...
He'd probably be in Birmingham.
Without, right? And I, by the way, the guy, I'm sure, got insurance money for it. But there was a lot of payments being made.
Yeah,
and
just to maintain.
Yeah, by insurance companies. You know, these property casualty companies got crushed during some of these events. But if he wouldn't have had it, I mean, he had to wait for that insurance money that came from, you know, State Farm or Allstate or whoever we dealt with. It'd come right away. But having access to insurance companies had no issue with that. They sent him a check. He had that money in a couple of days. He's off and running. So how much better he was because of doing it that way.
Right. So we have hopefully not beat a dead horse today talking about this subject, but I hope we've shed light on something that, and maybe made it clearer.
It's just a worth the discussion.
Absolutely. I mean,
maybe my BA, BS discussion was not worthy.
I'm going to go ahead and say we could have left that out. Okay. But regardless, hopefully people have a little bit clearer mindset and they can make a wise decision as it relates to paying off debt. So thank you for listening in, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Stallion, this episode, you got hot with me, man. You is not about to let me go after your liberal arts degree.
Man, I'll be honest with you. I wanted to put an end to that whole argument as soon as possible.
I saw you getting angry with me. All right. I'm not going to bring it back up. I just want to know that we're okay. Right. I mean, we're standing like behind these two screens right now. We can only see like the top of each other's heads. I sort of feel like Wilson off the
Home Improvement
show here.
I'll be Tim Allen.
But we're good. Wilson. We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
That episode was fun though. It was, you know, there was some tension in there outside of the idea of just trying to pay off debt and or not pay off debt. We had some other tensions. I felt like that was good.
Well, I mean, what a great thing to point out. The tension is there and people feel it, but I don't know that we really talk about it enough. So this is, for me, I feel like it was getting something out in the open that maybe people don't always think about.
Well, and as long as we're not thinking of things in a kind of a binary way that it's only this way or it's only that way, we're evaluating both sides. We're accepting the tension that exists. And I love the fact that we're offering that priority payoff guide. The ability for them to have that calculator to give them some insight.
Yeah, download that. Download that. You will be glad you did. It'll help. It'll be clear. I love, you know, in the past, you've actually told me this, and I think it's really poignant for especially those in the medical field. But if we just were just one way or the highway all the time about everything, we'd be creating like a situation of malpractice, right? And I think, unfortunately, that's kind of what's out there in the financial world is a lot of malpractice going on where you can hear a little bit about a situation and make one swooping, you know, this is how it works for everybody. And it's just not the way it works.
Well, and don't get us wrong though, because I'm willing to, you know, jump off a fence and yell my side as loud as I can. I think I did that in a completely different way in this episode. But it's all right to also see both sides and figure out which one is best. And I think that was good that we kind of broke that out. Now, on to another topic that is heated, which is taxes.
Oof.
I think we've got a great episode lined up dealing with maybe some alternative ways to go about paying for those and maybe using taxes, at least the cash flow part of it, to our favor.
Right. And I think you will not want to miss these very strategic outside of Wall Street ideas surrounding how you can make your taxes work for you. Listen up. This is just a quick snippet. There are people writing checks right now out of their accounts that is flowing straight to the IRS, right? It's impossible for you to gain anything from that transaction. You just know it is leaving your hands and it's going to someone else's control. And in this case, their account, so to speak, right? So what you're sharing with us today and what this article is really showing is how does that business owner take something that it could be so painful, right? The pain of writing that check and make it something that actually benefits you. Your company's called Create Tailwind. That's turning the tailwind towards you instead of against you. And so I'm so grateful you're able to share with us, you know, more about how you're doing that for your clients and this article, unpacking this article.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.